Personally, say hello. My name is Moshe T. Weinberg. I'm part of that chevra on the other side of the wall that sometimes makes noise. So we apologize for our occasional rikudim and singing. But I was asked to come and speak about a topic that I hope will resonate with you. I want it to really become more of a discussion. I'll speak a little bit at the beginning, and I prepared a few Mayim Makomos and some thoughts to share. But at the end, I would like to save some time, if you're interested, to hear your thoughts and to hear maybe some questions. So it's a shiur, but it's really a springboard to a discussion. And I want to talk about questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How a person can ask healthy and proper questions on the Torah. Should a person ask questions on the Torah? Can we ask questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that something we encourage? Is that something we discourage? We'll start with the Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha B'chukosai, Perek Chav Zayin, we have the source of one of the Mesechtas and Shas, Mesechtas Tmura. Right, we have the Indian of Tmura. What's the Indian of Tmura? You have a person who designates a certain animal as Kekdish, dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, and then he decides, you know what, I'd like to exchange that animal for another animal. And the Torah says, Lo Yamiro, so you're not allowed to exchange it. You're not allowed to exchange it whether you're exchanging a bad animal for a good animal, an upgrade. But certainly you're not allowed to exchange it if you're downgrading to trade a good animal for a bad animal. Right, this is the concept of Tmura. Again, it's a whole Masechta and Kachim, as I'm sure you know. But let's look at the Rambam in source number one. The last Rambam in Hilchos Tmura. The very last Rambam in Hilchos Tmura. And it's a Rambam, Rambam often gets a little bit poetic at the end of various sections of Halacha. It's in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel. We'll start in the fourth line. He says as follows. The Afalpi. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ila, Paraches Halacha Ches, the Rambam says we have to remind ourselves that what we do is Gzeiros HaMelech. Everything that we do is Gzeiros HaMelech. That's not a cop-out answer. I want to be very clear about this. It's not a cop-out answer to say, if someone asks you, so why do Jews do that? Because Hashem says so. Oh, it's a cop-out. You're avoiding the question. That's not true. We don't believe that at all. To say that I do something simply because Hashem says so is a perfectly acceptable answer. Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Lamashal. Right? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that we know that we blow the shofar. Why do we blow the shofar? So immediately our brains go, why do we blow the shofar? We go to the shofar, Uri Yishenem Mishen Naschem. It's the ultimate wake-up call. The shofar is supposed to get us ready for Tshuva. How does the Rambam begin that halacha? Where he goes into these beautiful poetic lashonos of waking ourselves up to do Tshuva. How does he begin that discussion? The Rambam says, Afal pi, shetekiyas shofar, gzeiros hakasuv, even though the real reason that we blow the shofar is simply because the Torah says so. That's the reason. So when we talk about trying to explore tamei mitzvos, which is a healthy thing, a good thing, as the Rambam is about to say here, remind yourself that the starting point, says the Rambam, is what I wrote in Hilchos Me'ilah. So of Hilchos Me'ilah, paraches halachaches, that we do things because the king says so. The master of the universe says so. And that's a perfectly acceptable answer. You shouldn't feel that if you can't give more of an explanation, then it's not worth doing the mitzvah. If I don't have it deeper, I don't understand the Kabbalistic intent behind why I put on my tefillin, so why do I bother? You know why I put on your tefillin? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said so. That's perfectly acceptable. So says the Rambam, even though I wrote to you in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah that every mitzvah is really a gzerah, it's a decree from on high, ro'ilis bonin behen. A person should try to think about them. V'chol ma'sha'ata yachol litin lotam, tein lotam. And whatever sense you can make out of mitzvot, you should. It makes a lot of sense that we should understand what we're doing. That's not a bad idea. Shlomo HaMelech even understood the things that we call a chok. He understood the majority of the Torah. Paraduma, of course, was something that was still outside of his grasp. But a person should strive. It's okay to try to understand things. And the Rambam goes on and he explains psychologically why he feels that the Torah has a prohibition of tmura. A person will say, well, I'm just trading this lesser quality animal for a better animal. But the Rambam says, but eventually you're going to come to rationalize, you're going to trade a good animal for a bad animal. Right? And therefore the Torah says, no trades. And if you do trade, by hu tmuraso ya kodesh, that both the original animal and the new animal both become kodesh. If you're really, you're giving because you want to give better, so you'll give both. You'll give both. It's a psychological understanding of how people act. But again, the Rambam is encouraging us, it's okay to think about mitzvos. It's okay to try to understand mitzvos. Not ever losing sight of the fact that it's a gezerah. but it's okay to try to ask questions. It shows that you're alive and that you have a healthy relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you're asking because you want to understand. You're not asking, we'll talk about this, not to ask like a Baal Gaiva, not to ask a question where you're really saying, I don't hold of this. The language is ends with a question mark. But you're saying it in a way to say, this is silly, this is stupid, I don't hold of this idea in the Torah, it doesn't make any sense. Right? If you're asking in that way, that's already crossing the line, as we'll talk about. But to be able to ask questions, that's a sign that you're interested. It's good to ask questions. That's something that Baruch Hashem, Rebbeim and Bezman Hazeh are able to understand. There was a time period, you ask your parents and grandparents, right? If in yeshiva they were encouraged to ask, you know, challenging questions about Emunah, I imagine the overwhelming majority of them would respond that no, no way. And unfortunately, a lot of people over the years, over the course of Jewish history, have been lost to Yiddishkeit because they were discouraged from asking questions. We don't discourage. We have nothing to hide. We're willing to talk about difficult things and challenging things. Right? Baruch Hashem, I'm sure your Rebbeim are open to asking questions, to fielding questions, even if they're hard questions. And the Rebbeim are smart enough and mature enough in their own way to be able to say, if they don't know, we'll look into it more together. But a question doesn't disprove something. The fact that you have a question doesn't automatically knock out a certain concept. But it's good. It's healthy to ask questions. They tell a story. They say the Shpol Zeta. Shpol Zeta was one of the early Hasidish Rebbes. So there's a nusach in some Haggadahs that say that it's written in the Haggadah. You know, we have the Simanim in the Haggadah, right? We actually spell out the Simanim. We recite the Simanim. We don't always have to give announcements exactly what's going to happen before we do it. Part of the nusach of the Haggadah is that we say, Kadesh Rochas, right? We spell it out. So in some Haggadahs was a nusach. In old Haggadahs was a nusach. It said that the father should come home quickly from shul, telling you what to do on the Seder night. The father comes home quickly and recites Kiddush quickly, so that the children shouldn't fall asleep and they should be able to ask. So, different nuschos of how the story goes. Either Shpol Zeta's kids or grandchildren came to the Seder one time, and they didn't say that line. Because they felt, what do I have to say? They have to announce. The father comes home quickly and he says Kiddush quickly, so that the kids won't fall asleep, they'll be able to ask. And the Shpol Zeta said, what happened to that line? Why'd you leave that line out? So he said, our Rebbe in Cheder didn't teach us that. He didn't tell you, he said, you don't have to say that part. And Shmuel Zeta got so upset, he was so upset. He said, don't you realize there's a reason that's in the Haggadah? You think it's just an instruction to how to run the Seder? He said, what we're really saying on a deeper level is that what? That the father comes home quickly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come back to us quickly, and to recite Kiddush, to be Mekadesh this world quickly, before Klal Yisrael fall asleep. And what's the sign of Klal Yisrael falling asleep? Of losing interest in Hashem? That they fall asleep and they're not awake to ask. Says the Shmuel Zeta, when you're asking, that's a sign you're awake. That's a sign you're interested. Again, sometimes the question is challenging towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a challenge on the Torah. But it's a sign that a person's alive and asking. We're learning Maseches Shabbos this year in Yeshiva. On Daf Lamed Aleph, I don't know if you got to it, if you saw it. On Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara tells a wild story of these two individuals who made a bet. They're trying to get Hillel angry. And this fellow comes to Hillel. Hillel Zaken with all these crazy questions on Erev Shabbos. He pulls him out of the shower to ask him these ridiculous questions. And every time he asks the question, what does Hillel say to him? Bini, she'ela gedola she'alta. Wow, what a great question. So if you look at the Iyun Yaakov, and the Ein Yaakov, in the commentary, the Iyun Yaakov. So he says, look how Hillel was mechazik, this individual. He encouraged him. It's good to ask questions. It's a very good thing to ask questions. They were ridiculous questions. They were asking ridiculous questions. Why do people in this place have, you know, squinty eyes? That was the question. Why do these people who live in the marshlands have very flat feet? Very strange, unusual question that he asked them as if this was like a pressing matter. And Hillel is trying to get ready for Erev Shabbos. Everyone knows what Erev Shabbos looks like. And this guy's hocking him with these ridiculous questions. And Hillel says, ah, b'ni she'ela gedola she'alta. What a great question. What an unbelievable question. That's what the Rambam is saying here. To try to understand the Tamei Mitzvot is a beautiful thing. We shouldn't feel discouraged. What are we saying when we have a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are we really saying? Why is it a good thing? Doesn't it show that I have a lack of Emunah? If I had real Emunah, if I had Emunah Pshuta, so I'd sit quietly and I would just be Makabel, asking a question, doesn't that already indicate that something bad is growing inside? Shorash Poro Shalana, like the Torah says, that there's some Avodah Zarah thoughts growing inside my heart. So let's take a look. Let's go to source number 3 for a second. This comes from Rav Nachman of Breslov, but in case you're worried it's a Hasidish thing, I'll give you two quotes from the Rav to back it up, where the Rav says, Kim'at, the exact same thing. the Rav in Halachic Man and Lonely Man of Faith says almost the exact same thing. But let's read. We'll read a little piece from Rabbi Nachman first. In Lakutim Moran, it's in Chelek Beis, in Simen Nun Beis. First, he starts off by discussing why is it that sometimes we see tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, people who we have the utmost respect for, doing very strange things, uncomfortable things. Sometimes you see a Rav do something and you have a question on him. I don't understand. If you're such a big rabbi, so why are you doing that thing? Right? And sometimes there's a very good answer and it's just we don't understand it. Says Rabbi Nachman. He continued and said as follows. Sometimes we have questions on Hashem. Marg Bapume Lomar, this was written by his Talmud. So my Rabbi, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, used to explain. Adrab, you think a question is something to be discouraged? That a person should feel bad that he has a question? Kachroi lios daika. It's very, very fitting to have questions on Hashem. You know why, guys? Listen. She had kushyos al Hashem yisbar. It's very fitting. V'kach na v'yafalo yisbar. In fact, it's a praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you believed in him so much, why are you, what are you bothering a Kadosh Baruch Hu with your questions for? Lefi gdulas over amuso. Ki me'otzem gdulas over amuso shu meromen ma'od midaitenu. It's the very nature of Hashem, the fact that Hashem is so much beyond our understanding. Hashem is elevated so far beyond anything that the human intellect can grasp. When we have a question on Hashem, we're saying, I don't understand you. Hashem says, exactly, of course you don't understand me. Because you're Basar Vadam, and I'm the Bari Olam. So the fact that you don't understand me is just a... In a sense, is a reminder to yourself that that's right, you don't understand Hashem. Hashem is much, much greater than anything we could possibly understand. So it makes perfect sense. There should be questions. It's a praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he concludes in the final line, and if Hashem would simply operate in accordance with our understanding, if Hashem would operate lefi our understanding, if everything God did had to fit into my little mind, right. So then, basically, you're saying then you're a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or like some of the early great Jewish philosophers said, if I would understand him, I would be him. If I would know him, I would be him. We can't fully understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that you're asking the question, in a sense, is a constant reminder that I believe in a God who's bigger than me, who's much bigger than me, who's so big that sometimes he does things that are so confusing, and the fact that I don't understand is just a reminder that he's so big, he is so great. That amazing true story that I heard once. It was a young girl. She grew up in a family that was totally irreligious. Somehow, through different organizations, she started becoming from. This girl lived in Brooklyn, and by the time she was in high school, she went to BYA. It's already a very religious school, Beis Yaakov Academy in Brooklyn. One Shabbos afternoon, this girl, Mamish, Mesiras Nefesh, she became a religious person. Her family was very not into it. Parents were not into it at all. But she tasted the truth, and she wanted to pursue it. And eventually she was able to. She went to a religious school. What happens? One Shabbos afternoon, she's out for a walk, and she's walking, she's going to visit this old woman. Right? Mamish, an act of chesed on a Shabbos afternoon. What better thing to do? She had signed up to go visit this person, to keep her company on a Shabbos afternoon. This girl, her name's Maya, she's crossing King's Highway. All of a sudden, a car that's coming down spins out of control, crashes into a telephone post or a lamppost, something on the side of the road, and the thing collapses on her, and she's pinned underneath. Her right arm is pinned underneath this telephone pole. She's unconscious, bleeding profusely. They get her out of there. They eventually, I think, they helicopter her out of there to a hospital. She lost her right arm. Baruch Hashem, she survived, but she woke up and her arm was missing. Rahman al-Islam. And when she woke up, her father was by her side. And why a father would ever say such a thing to his daughter at such a time like this, when a father should do nothing more than just shower his daughter with love and be thankful that she's alive. One of the first things this father said to his daughter, he said, so you're still going to be a religious Jew? Because this is the God that you want to believe in? The God who, on his holy day, when you're not driving in the car, like mom and I, you know, going to the mall or whatever, right? You're walking because you believe in him. And you're going to do an act of kindness because you believe in him. Because you want to walk in his ways, and this is what happens too. And this girl, about 15 years old, she says to her father, I don't even understand the question. He says, well, how could you believe in God? Your God is clearly an evil God. Why would he do this to you? And she says, I don't understand the question. She says, why would I want, she said exactly this piece of Torah from Rabbi Nachman. She said, why would I want to believe in a God who I understand? That's what makes him God. The fact that he dislikes me that I don't understand, so therefore I stop believing. Why? Because Hashem has to be in accordance with what I can understand, what makes sense, what seems fair to me. I'm sure she had questions. She was bothered by it. I'm sure she wasn't happy about her situation. But to think that a 15-year-old girl could have the maturity to say to her father, why would I stop believing in Kadosh Baruch Hu just because I have a question? That's what makes him Hashem. That he's so elevated. And this is the healthiest part of the religious experience, the give and take. The whole base medrash is set up with questions and answers. That's what every daf of Gemara is about, is built on. The Rav said in Halachic Man, you can look it up, it's on page 9 and 10. The Rav says that asking questions is really the essence of the religious experience. It's good to ask questions. It's not a contradiction. It doesn't show a lack of faith. The Rav said about, or Soloveitchik said about a person who doesn't ask questions, it's sad a person who doesn't ask questions because it's megal, it implies, it reveals that he thinks he knows everything. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. By asking a question, you're saying, I don't know everything. I don't fully understand everything. How you ask the question is also very important. That's what the Rav wrote about in The Lonely Man of Faith on page 13. The way it's printed now, it is the 1992 edition, if you want to look it up. The Rav said that we don't ask the why. The why is not so much what we're busy with. Why does Hashem? Right? The question is how. How do I respond? How do I make sense of the situation? What do I do with it? Not why. The why is beyond us. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. There's no way for you to understand the why because that's what makes him Hashem. You can't get to the why. If you understood the why, you would be a Kodesh Baruch. But how do I function with this? What's the right way to respond? My question is, how can I live with this? How can I learn to balance this in my life? How do I use this as a means to deepening my relationship with Hashem? That's a very, very good question. And to be mature enough and to be smart enough to sometimes say, I don't understand. And that itself is a proof of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to be mature enough to say we don't know sometimes. It's okay. If you get stuck on a question, that's not a disproof of a Kodesh Baruch Hu or his Torah. Rashi over and over. I once saw someone put together a list of 77 places where Rashi says, I don't know. No, Rashi, wanted to teach a lesson. So maybe one place, right, I don't know. 77 times. Rashi in his commentaries writes, I don't know. I don't understand this. Why does Rashi have to announce, I don't know? Why does he announce it to everyone? What's he telling us? Rashi's telling us that sometimes you don't know, and the show goes on. And that's okay. And Rashi didn't go off the derech because he had a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or because he didn't understand a certain pasuk or a piece of Gemara. It's okay. And when you say, I don't know, again, you're hinting to the fact, I don't know, but there's something to know. I saw Rav Shimshon Pinkus brings. Heard of Rav Shimshon Pinkus? Rav Pinkus, in his sefer, one of his svarim on Chumash, Tiferes Torah, in Parshas B'Shalach, he said there's a big difference between two types of I don't know. Listen to what he says. Rav Pinkus said that imagine a person's walking on the beach. You ever see those guys on the beach with those metal detectors? Like looking for, you know, quarters? You ever see such a thing? Yeah? So, right? So this guy's on the beach. Imagine such a thing. He has a diamond detector. This guy's on the beach hoping that maybe some lady, you know, went into the water and her diamond ring fell off and he's going to find it after washed up on shore. Listen, if he strikes a couple diamonds a year, it'll be fine. It'll make parnasa. So he's on the beach with his diamond detector. He's walking out with his diamond detector. All of a sudden, the thing starts beeping like crazy, right? All the flashing lights up and down. It's like he's on to something. So someone comes over to him and says, well, what do you have over here? What did you find? So the guy says to him, I don't know. So he says, I also don't know. You don't know and I don't know. Now there's a big difference between the two I don't knows. And the I don't know, the guy with the diamond detector in his hand, says, I don't know what I found here, but I can tell you there's a precious gem here. The other guy's I don't know, I don't know and I don't care. So says Pinkus, when Rashi says I don't know, why is Rashi revealing I don't know? Rashi is saying, I don't yet know, but I'm sure, I'm positive, because I'm smart enough to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, there's a reason he wrote it this way. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out in Pshat, I couldn't find the Medrash to explain it, so Rashi writes, I don't know. But I'm onto something. I'm telling you, there's a diamond buried here. And Rashi's calling on us to further the question, to continue to explore, to figure out what's buried in that particular place. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding for us in that particular place? Turn over the sheet for a minute. And I want to read together a little piece from the Sefer, V'nichtav B'Sefer. V'nichtav B'Sefer is a contemporary Sefer by Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. He's a Chashuv Rav in Eretz Yisrael. And he brings a beautiful, beautiful mashal, which I think will help us to really understand this idea. Look what he says. We'll start from the arrow. B'Rishonim Muva Mashal Nifla. It's a mashal Kadma from the Rishonim. A mashal as follows. V'zeh tochen a mashal. Melech echad hayilo otzer atek shel kesef v'zav avarim tovus margalius. There was a king who had a massive, right, atek means huge. He had a huge fortune with silver and gold and precious stones. Asher shomer oso avor b'no b'vo ito. He was saving it for his son the prince when the time would come. Halach ha-melech v'hitminas ha-otzer b'makum sheshum b'riya lo teida. He went ahead and he hid this treasure in a place where no one knew where it was. V'gami b'no hister es makum machvo ha-mamum. And he hid, he concealed from his son also, the place of this money. Okay. L'yamim meis ha-melech b'bli l'galos makum ha-otzer ha-tamir v'anelam. The king suddenly passed away and he never revealed where this treasure is. Not to anyone, not to his closest advisor, not even to his own son, the prince. And in addition, obviously, to this buried treasure, the king left a magnificent palace. A beautiful palace that is, it couldn't be compared to any other palace in the world. The structure of this building was so precisely planned. I mean, the architectural design that went into putting together this palace was a big fat book, right? Page after page of detailed design. Each thing unique in its expression of beauty. You get the point. Right, beautiful chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. Mamish, mamish, beautiful. So he says in the bottom paragraph on the right side, the son noticed, as the palace starts to become his home, right? More so than it was in the past. He always lived in the palace, but now it's his palace. And he starts to spend more time taking in all of the great wisdom that his father put into building this magnificent palace. There's one room that just, something's not right. He walks into this room, and every time he walks into the room, there's something about the floor tiles that really, that bother him. There's something not right here. Something's off. And he's thinking about it, and he's thinking about it, he's looking at it, and he's trying to figure out, how does this fit into everything? My father constructed everything with the greatest precision. What's going on here? I'm telling you, something is off here, and he can't figure it out for the life of him. But the more he thinks about it, the more he realizes, and the more he understands what his father did correct, the more he doesn't understand. What's with this whole pattern of the floor tiles? It's strange. It doesn't fit the structure of everything else that I've seen. So we'll continue on the left-hand side. Berbos Hayamim, the second paragraph. Nizkar ben me'otzer atamir v'anela. All of a sudden, one day, the son reminds himself, wait a minute. My father told me when I was a kid that he was going to leave for me an unbelievable amount of money, a treasure, and he never told me where that is. Maybe that missing treasure has something to do with these broken floor tiles. Maybe there's a clue here. Maybe this somehow is being megala, it's hinting, it's revealing to me something that my father wants me to discover, and he knows that only I, with my discerning eye, only I, the son, with the appreciation of everything else, would be able to pick up on this one thing. Why did my father tell me where the Yerusha is? Finally, an idea pops into his head. Perhaps this is the secret to the improper construction of the floor of this palace in this particular room. Maybe this is the secret. He says in the second to last paragraph, he finally realized that, hold on a second, these different arrows on the floor, these different directions, the things that don't seem to have that aesthetic beauty that the rest of the palace has, wait a minute, maybe this is guiding me towards the treasure. Now, you've all seen, I'm sure, a movie like this, right? They dig something up, and they find a clue, and they follow it to the next clue, and v'chulu, 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 and eventually the son finds the treasure. And he saw, at the end, he's filled with such a sense, my father, what a genius. What a genius my father is. That which initially looked crooked, and looked off, it didn't seem right, that was the greatest wisdom that my father ever had. And that's why it was so hard for me to understand it for such a long period of time. When a person has questions on a Kadosh Baruch, when you're looking at a sugya, when you're studying a piece of the Torah, and it doesn't make sense, and you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? How does this fit in? I've seen some, Hashem, you've done some pretty good things over the course of history. How does this piece fit in? How does this fit in? Right? Be smart enough to keep looking, to understand that which is a little bit off is trying to catch your attention. That when Rashi says, I don't know, he's saying there's a clue here. Keep looking. keep digging. And Emir Tashem, in the end, the Kodesh Baruch Hu answers up all the questions. Think about a Bam Kasha, Avram Avinu, by Akedas Yitzchak. A Pashut Kasha. Perachaf Aleph. Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zara. Clear as can be. Not only Deish Lech, Hashem says to Avram, Yitzchak is going to be your future. Okay? Perachaf Beis, go kill Yitzchak. No? Can't solve it. There's no solution. Avram says, there's literally no solution. Avram has the maturity to wait. He doesn't ask the question. The Mefarshim on Rashi point out. I saw the Taz in his commentary on Rashi. The Divrei David says, Avram waits. You would find that Rashi brings the question of Avram Avinu Dafka after the Akedah. He says, Hashem, what's going on here? But what was the question Avram was living with? It can't be. It can't be, Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zara, and go kill Yitzchak. It cannot be. There is no answer to that question. There is zero answer to that question. There cannot be answered. It's not possible to answer. Avram says, I've turned it over every possible... There's no way to answer it. And so what happens in the end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, whoa. All I said was, Ha'aleu. I said, bring him up the mountain. You brought him up, bring him down. And in the split second, what was an impossible riddle to solve, it cannot be that take him as a carbon and Yitzchak is the future. In a second, Avram gets an answer. You know what's so powerful about that? See, we also have questions that we think cannot be answered. Let's go big for a minute. Let's talk about the Holocaust. Holocaust is a big question on the Rabbanu Shlomo. A lot of people struggle with that. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I forget that poor girl Maya, who lost her arm doing chesed on a Shabbos afternoon. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu claim to love the Jewish people and kill 6 million Jews? No? Anyone ever think about that question? Be honest. Ever cross your mind that question? You ever hear anyone ask that question? Right? It's a strong question. It's a very strong question. So what do we imagine? I want to use Avram as a springboard. What do we imagine? Mashiach's going to come, let's say, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send Eliyahu HaNavi, Teiku in the Gemara, some say, Tishbi Atari, Tzkushos Vavayos, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come with the answer to the Holocaust, and he's going to give the answer. And you know what we think? We think, when the answer comes, we're going to say, I don't buy it. Still not good enough. Doesn't work for me. Hashem, you're going to come with some fancy explanation for the Holocaust, and I'm still going to say, but Rabbono Sho'olam. All I had to do was see one clip. All I had to see was one video clip of a Nazi soldier smashing a Jewish baby's brains, and I don't care what you're going to say. No answer is going to be good enough. No answer is good enough. I'm sorry, Rabbanu Shalom, it's a nice svara, it's not bad. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. It's not the right answer for me. I'm sorry, I'm not makabel. What we learned from Avram Avinu is that even if we're absolutely sure that there's no... Avram said, there is no answer to this question. It cannot be answered. I've looked at all the tzaddikim. There's no answer. Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zara cannot work with Ha'aleihu Sham La'ola. Avram says, there's just no way out. I have it covered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an answer, and in a second, Avram says, how did I miss that? And that's going to be exactly, as hard as it is to imagine, that's exactly the feeling we're going to have when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and explains the Holocaust to us. We're not going to say, yeah, but 6 million Jews? The answer is going to be so clear, it's hard for us to imagine. But the answer is going to be so crystal clear that it's going to make perfect sense. And all of that pain and all of that suffering. I once shared this with someone who lost a relative. Obviously, not B'Shas Maisa, right? You need to give a person, you don't respond to a person. You sit with them and you hold their hand and you give them a hug and you cry with them. Right? But as time went on, we spoke about this question. And I gave them this approach and they were very comforted by it. Because they always say, there was a feeling of like, okay, Hashem's going to explain why my son had to die. But really? I'm going to feel better even with Hashem's answer? And the answer is, yeah, Hashem's answer is going to be so crystal clear that you are going to feel better. And we have to have the humility, we have to be so much mavatal ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. To say, Hashem, I'm confident that I don't understand at all. I'm very bothered by this, but it doesn't stop me from believing in you. The question does not change anything because I'm confident that you're going to answer it. It's very hard for me to understand what's going on here. Extremely hard. I often give a mashal. Imagine you walk into a hospital, into the operating room. Someone's performing brain surgery. And you see this person, right? And he's cutting and he's digging and there's blood. And right? And you walk over and you look over this neurosurgeon's shoulder and you say, I don't understand what you're doing here. That's crazy. You're going to kill this person. You get that? Why'd you put the knife into his head? What are you doing? Right? So this person says to you, you're questioning me? He says, did you go to medical school? The person's like, I didn't even finish college yet. So who are you to walk in and say, I don't get this over here. This doesn't work for me. You know people do that all the time? People do it all the time. I taught in high school for 5 years. I've only taught in college for 2 years, so I have more high school experience than college. And when I taught in high school, I got that question all the time. This doesn't make sense. So I would say to the student, let me ask you something. Have you read through the entirety of the Torah? No. Have you finished 2,711 pages of Shas? No. Have you learned through the Shulchan Aruch from cover to cover? No. Have you studied the writings of the Maharal, the Kuzari? Have you studied Rav Sadia Gaon? Have you read the teachings of V'chul, V'chul, V'chul? No. So who are you to walk in, right, on the world's greatest neurosurgeons, Abaye and Rava, and say, I don't get it. Doesn't work for me. Who are you? What's your training? What's your experience? What's your knowledge to even be able to walk into that room and question? There has to be an element of humility when a person questions the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And to be confident, Torah is Hashem Tamima, Hashem's Torah is perfect, Mishivas Nafesh. I heard once from Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says, Mishivas Nafesh, Mishivas is the Lashon of what? Of responding. The Torah is perfect, it's Mishivas Nafesh, it answers the questions of the soul. The Torah has the answers. How we're going to get there, when we're going to get there, when are we going to find it? A little patience. And a Jew has to learn to live with the question. I want to tell you an amazing story. And I'll wrap up in 2 minutes and I'll open the floor to your comments. But I have to share this story with you. The Chassam Sofer's son once came to him. He was an Adam Gadol B'Yisrael. Chassam Sofer was the Gadol Ador. His son walked into the room and said, I have a deep and troublesome philosophical shaila. Something about the Ikarim, the fundamentals of Jewish faith, is bothering me. I'm very troubled by it. And the Chassam Sofer listened to his question, and he says, it's a very good question, I don't know what to tell you. And he says, well, you don't know, you're Rav Moshe Sofer, you're the God of the door. What do you mean you don't know? If you don't know, no one knows. He says, I don't know what to tell you, I'm sorry. And his son walked out, and he was so upset. What do you mean there's no answer? There's no answer? And he was troubled. For the next couple of days, he sat with this heavy feeling in his heart. He had to make a choice. What does that mean now? So what does that mean for Yiddishkeit? Do I go on believing? Do I continue to learn? Do I continue to practice? I daven? This is a very difficult question. A couple days later, Chassam Sofer calls his son. He says, come, let's sit together. He sat together, and point by point by point, he dissected his question from top to bottom, gave him a crystal clear answer. And he says to his son, he says, I want you to know that when you walked into my study a few days ago and asked me the question, I had the answer on the tip of my tongue. But I wanted to teach you that a Jew lives with the question. Life goes on even when we still have a question. Yiddishkeit goes on when we have a question. It's not the end. It's not the be-all and the end-all of our Yiddishkeit when we have a question. The answer's there. You have to learn how to be patient. You have to be humble enough to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come and give you that answer. And that's why on the Seder night, the night of our Emunah, after a beautiful night of talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and questions and answers, right? Rav Chaim Bisker, the format of the Seder, Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim, has to be in question-answer format. It's one of the conditions of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. There have to be questions. If you sit by yourself, you have to ask questions and answers. On this beautiful night of questions and answers and Emunah, how does the night end? With a kid's song, a very chashuv kid's song. Chad Gadya. Let's go through Chad Gadya for 1 second. What happens? This nice guy goes, he buys a goat. Beautiful. Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. What happens? The cat comes along. I want you to play, you be the judges. The cat comes along and eats the goat. Did the goat do anything wrong? Do we have any indication that the goat was starting up with the cat? Is picking a fight with the cat? The cat came along and ate the goat without rishus. It was wrong. The cat did a terrible thing. So what happens when the dog comes now and takes revenge against the cat? Good or bad? Good or bad? Rabbi, paskin for me. The cat came and ate the goat for no reason. The dog comes and sticks up for the goat. Good or bad? Osiko. Because you're too smart. Pasha, good or bad? Good. You see someone being bullied and you stand up for them? Good. Good. We don't need fancy smart. I'm happy. I'm happy you guys are thinking that way. Pasha, it's a good thing. That the dog should come to defend the cat is a good thing. Defend the goat is a good thing. So let's follow the Seder. So the dog comes and does a good thing by defending. So now the stick, who apparently is in cahoots with the cat, comes and beats up the dog. Right? And now we got like a rumble developing in Chad Gadya. So the stick is out of line. So the fire comes and burns the stick. Fire did a good thing. So the water comes and puts out the fire. Hey, what are you getting involved here? Right? The water did the wrong thing. So the ox comes and drinks up the water. Very good, ox. The Shochet comes and slaughters the ox. Shochet, what right do you have to slaughter this ox? It's a good ox. This ox is, everything the ox is doing is really just to defend the goat. What a gavaldik ox. What a sensitive ox. You come and just slaughter him for no reason? You add a line. Malach HaMavis comes and kills the Shochet. Malach HaMavis gave the Shochet what he deserves. Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and what? slaughters the Malachim Aves who did the right thing. So we end the Seder by saying what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the wrong thing. Everybody have a good night. Shkayach. And don't forget to leave out part of Shema on your way to bed. This is how the Seder ends. This is the night of Amunah. The night of Amunah ends with a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just follow a simple pattern. The night of Amunah ends with a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Rav Moshe Wolfson, yes, that's exactly how the night of Amunah ends. Because Amunah is not a contradiction to living with a question. A Jew tries to clarify, like the Rambam we started with, try to understand everything, ask the questions, seek the answers. But be brave enough and mature enough to understand that Amunah means I can live with the question. And eventually the Chassam Sofer will come and answer your question, or Mashiach will come and answer, or Kadosh Baruch Hu will come and answer your question. Eventually you'll get the answer. Eventually at the end of the day, you get the answer to your question. Maybe you just need to immerse yourself in Torah a little bit more. And sometimes the question, I'll tell you something that happened to one of my friends. He wrote a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita. One of my good friends wrote a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, a question of Amunah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, if you've ever seen his responses, they're usually very shorthand, not a long arichus. He wrote him this long, two-page letter, hard question. Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote back to him. He said, if you learn with greater amelus, you'll see your question is not a question. My friend's like, what's that? No offense, gadol ador. But what? I asked you a serious question, your answer is just go learn more? My friend told me that for the next 2 weeks, he was makabel upon himself an extra hour of learning. He said at the end of 2 weeks, no question at all. The question didn't bother him anywhere. Because sometimes you just need to immerse yourself in Yiddishkeit a little more time in the Beis Medrash. A ger once came to the Maharal of Prague and said to the Maharal of Prague, I want to convert. I'm not comfortable with this tefillah in the mikvah thing. This dip in the holy waters. It doesn't do it for me. I'm not interested in that. I don't understand it. Bechlau. So the Maharal said to him, listen, you just go into the mikvah, you do it, and I'm telling you, I have the answer. I'll explain it to you as soon as you come out. What happened? Read this in a safe one time. This ger went into the water. He was tovel. He came out of the water. Maharal says, okay, let's sit down and talk out. Rebbe, it's not a question anymore. Once he was in the water, it wasn't a question anymore. That's the yesod gadol in Yiddishkeit. The more you immerse yourself in it, the more the questions start to fall away. The more you have the confidence to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. I'll just conclude, since our yeshiva Bechlal is named after Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, I'll end with just one little quote from Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. And this is from a sefer called Shvive Or, by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. An amazing thing. We'll end, we'll be Messiah with our namesake. Yeshiva Shvive Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Okay, good. So he writes here in the sefer Shvive Or, V'ana uvdi adana me'aluf ne'orai hagon Rav Yitzchak Elchanan mikovto. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, I want to be Messiah, I want to share with you a story about one of the great gedolim of Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Pam shalach lo talmido michtav ubo kushya b'gemara. One time, one of his talmidim wrote him a question on a particular gemara. Hatalmid hosif ki kushya zos mashridas minuchasa at she'ena yachol lahamshichu lilmod osa sugya. He wrote to him and he said, I can't learn because of this. It's making me crazy. This kasha I have in this gemara. So Yitzchak Elchanan wrote back. B'tshuvaso, he responded. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan gave him a mari makom, ayin tosos makom ploni. Look at this particular tosos and this particular mesechta. Different mesechta, totally different section of Shas. The Talmud looked into it. V'lo matza shum shaychus l'kushyasa. Uval Rav Yitzchak Elchanan v'shalu pesher dava. So eventually he traveled to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan and he said, I got your letter. And I looked in that tosos and it had nothing to do with the topic that I asked you. Maybe you sent me the wrong letter. Listen to this. On Allah agon Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. Kavanasi Haisa Leiros Lakasha Baliatosos Nishar Bitarchian. It was a tosos that ends with a tarchian. It's a tosos that says, we don't know the answer. But you know what I wanted you to see? What happens next on the page? Another tosos. Uvacholzosim Shichu Bilimudam Vlos Akfu Balachtam. The Baliatosos were able to get stuck on a question, and you know what? They were able to write that next tosos. They were able to continue to learn. So Mirat Hashem, I want to give you all a bracha. Baruch Hashem. You guys are the cream of the crop of the yeshiva. People who are dedicated to learning. I poke my head in the window very often. And I see the intensity and the seriousness of the learning. Right, but I came today really just to mechazik you in this inyan. That sometimes we get stuck on big questions in life. And sometimes dafka, the people who are the best learners, can come up with the best questions. And sometimes it can become very troublesome. And I've seen very, very fine b'nei Torah, people who are very dedicated to learning Rachmana Litzlan straight from the path of Yiddishkeit simply because they got stuck on a question. They didn't know how to go on with the question. But Birut Hashem, you'll have the maturity to walk in the ways of all the people we spoke about today. To have that maturity to understand that a Yid can live with a question. And it doesn't stop us from continuing to learn. It doesn't stop us from continuing to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't stop us from continuing to grow in all areas of our Avodah Hashem. What do you say? No, your thoughts? Let's hear someone. I know it's late.